we did too. We had a really special time with some of you that were here, ate up all our pizza goodies. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture today, so I don't know if you want to. But the main scripture we'll be looking at is 2 Corinthians 10, and so if you want to turn there, you can kind of be ahead of the game a little bit. But I read a story about a man who was sitting on the edge of the bed watching his wife, who was looking at herself in the mirror. Since her birthday was not far off, he asked her what she'd like to have for her birthday. "I'd like to be 8 again," she replied, still looking in the mirror. On the morning of her birthday, her husband got up early, made what he's heard was her favorite childhood breakfast, a big bowl of Cocoa Puffs and brownies. He then put her in the car and took her to Busch Gardens, where he put her on every ride in the park. Shikra, the Scorpion, Montu, Tigress, Cheetah, Cobra's Curse, everything there was. He bought her childhood favorite, cotton candy and Skittles. 6 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park. Her head was spinning and her stomach felt upside down. Then he took her to McDonald's, where he ordered her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a large chocolate shake and a cherry pie. Then it was off to the movies with popcorn, Coke, and M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed, totally spent. He leaned over his wife with a big smile and said, "So, honey, what was it like being 8 again?" Her eyes slowly opened, then her expression suddenly changed. She said, "No, you idiot, I meant my dress size." After a church service on Sunday morning, if you guys are here for the first time, that's all we do is tell jokes the whole time. After church on a Sunday morning, a young boy suddenly announced to his mom, "Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up." The mother replied, "Well, that's okay with us, but what made you decide that?" "Well," said the little boy, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, and I figured it would be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit and listen." There you go. We stand at a very incredible space in all of creation, a very unique opportunity right here and right now. And that's this. I really feel like we're moving into the season. You know when he said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh? I believe we're on the precipice of this all-flesh revival. And it's going to be spirit-led and spirit-filled. I'm sorry if you come from a very stuffy denominational church where they don't believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. But I do. And I think most of you do too. And if you don't believe it, just hang around for a little bit because you're going to see it and then you'll believe. But I believe we're just about right there. And there's something very unique about 2020. Yes, it's a quaint thing, you know, 2020 vision and all these different things that come out of. You know, one of the things us pastors like to do is we like to coin phrases for, you know, coming into 2020. I don't know if I did one. 2020, the year of plenty. There you go. That's our new coin phrase for 2020. But here's the point. How many of you know that you can be right on the verge of something, but if you don't see it, you'll miss it? It can happen for everybody else, but if you don't see it, they'll all get it and you won't. You'll miss it. And I believe that there's some qualifications to move into this new season. First of all, let me tell you what I see in this new season. I am sensing I'm so excited. I've never been so excited about the body of Christ and where we're at than I am right now. Because in this new year, I believe we're going to see greater accesses to the promises. What, does that mean God has been withholding the promises? No, I don't think so. I think it's always up to us. We sang this morning, the promises of God are yes and amen. I believe they are yes in heaven, but there needs to be a corresponding amen on earth. I believe we're going to be able to see it, and therefore we can have it more than what we've had in the past. I believe our ability to hear his voice is going to increase so that we can walk into what he has. I just believe that we're headed to a higher level in this new year than we've ever been able to get to before. You're not amening very good. Okay, I got to go back over the rules again. Here's the rules. If you amen, if you throw shoes, if you're boisterous and loud, stand up and say, "Yeah, preach it, Ron." We'll have a short service.
Preach it, Ron.
But if you're quiet, then that tells me you're not getting it, and I got to keep teaching. And so we could be 3, 4 in the afternoon. So it's really, really up to you. You heard about the preacher. He was teaching, and he used to always be known for going long. So what he would do is he would put a certs in his mouth right before he started teaching, a lifesaver. And when it was gone, he knew he had to shut down until the one day where he accidentally put a button in his mouth, and it was an all day long meeting. I believe that the first shall be last, and I wish I had time to teach all this. I wish we had like 6 hours today, because I have 6 hours worth of stuff in me, but we don't. But I believe that the first shall be last was talking about the church. In other words, what we saw the church birthed as, we're going to see it resurrect and come back as. So the church was very vibrant and alive. They would go into regions, and they would totally transform entire cities and regions in months. And we're not doing that at all. I could give you statistics, but you probably heard them before. But we're headed into a time that's very, very exciting. We're going to see acceleration like we've never seen before, and it's coming. But in order to get there, you've got to have a ticket to ride. Here's the ticket. Here's the ticket. This is what's been keeping us from riding. The ticket to ride is simply a setting. It's getting what's inside of you, the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Your life is hidden in Christ. When he said he came back to give you life and that more abundant, he put it on the inside of us. And I'm not going to reteach that, but most of you were here for that. You understand that's what the anointing means. The anointing means Christ inside of you. You carry Christ. And so he's on the inside. So your ticket to ride is simply getting this thing up here to be in alignment with the Spirit that is inside of you. Because I believe everything that you will ever be, you already are here. It's just that this doesn't know it yet. And so in order to walk into a new season and the new promises, we can't do it unless we get this lined up with this. So there has to be a setting. So a lot of peculiar scriptures about you being peculiar, and 1 Peter 2:9 is up there. You've heard that in the past. I just wanted to give you a couple of more. Deuteronomy 26:17 talks about you being a peculiar people, and also Titus, I think Titus is up there. There's Titus. Hi, Titus. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. You know, you're strange. People, when you're hungry and excited about the things of the kingdom, and you're helping to make it happen, some people that don't get it, they think you're weird. You're just a weirdo. You're peculiar. You're strange. So all of you weirdos out there, we won't be weird when we get to heaven, but here we're a little bit weird, and that's okay. You know, he said he'd use the foolishness to confound the wise. I think it's fun to get around people that think they're all that. And they look at you like, okay. But you know when it's true, it's true. In the Merriam-Webster, the word peculiar is defined as particular, special, or distinctive. There's a distinction. I want you to know that there's a difference between the people who are God's and the people who are not. And the things that make us different are called distinctions. And we've been talking for weeks, we're going to continue talking for weeks about the distinctions, because unless you know what they are, you won't walk as a person of distinction. You'll walk as a we'll look no different than the world. What makes us different? What causes us to tick different? What causes us to vibrate with the vibration of heaven instead of the world? Because if you don't know it, you will vibrate of the vibration of the world. Because we are in the world, man. We're surrounded by it. We're attacked by it every day. You're bombarded with it. Yes, we live here. But I want to tell you, we've got to get this old noggin lined up with the Spirit of God in everything. That's when we'll see kingdom come. We're not seeing kingdom to the degree we want to see it because we're not having alignment here with the degree that we need it. And so that's why I'm so dogmatic about this. I know we just had Christmas, and I know we're heading into New Year's, and I thought I'd just come and hear about Santa Claus and sleigh rides and, you know, falling snow on a new year. And no, I'm telling you, if Jesus came today, I don't think he would play tiddlywinks and skittles with you to make you feel good. I think he'd tell you what you need to hear to get into your next season, because he's passionate about you becoming everything you can be in him. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." This is the scripture, by the way. We're going to be camping out here back and forth, but this is going to be our main scripture. We do not war. Say war. I want you to know, like it or not, you're in a war. This is a war zone. That's why you come here to get equipped. You're getting equipped for the war. What is the war? It's the battle that happens up here, trying to get this into alignment. But the battle is over the glory. The glory is a manifested presence of God. But the war happens here. And we need to talk about this, because if we don't blow the cobwebs out of this, we'll never get to the new season God wants for us. So my assignment, my mandate for you today is to get you to have a new way of thinking, a new thought process, something that's different. Listen, if we keep thinking the way we always thought, we'll keep on getting what we always got. I don't know about you, but I want to get more. I want better. I want higher. I want to see more miracles. I want to see more manifestations. More deliverances, more God being honored. So we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. But we do have weapons. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. That word carnal just means worldly. They're not worldly, but they are mighty in God. For what? For pulling down strongholds. Strongholds. Casting down arguments. Arguments. High things that exalt themselves against the knowledge. These high things are types of knowledge that argue with other types of knowledge. We'll look at that in a little bit. So I'm in a knowledge war. You're in a knowledge war. The only difference between you and T.D. Jakes is what he knows and what you know. That's it. Or you and anybody else, these Christian heroes that we see. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christ, the anointed one, the one that lives on the inside of you that you're trying to get into alignment with. Bringing every thought into obedience to that. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, so you know I introduced to you some incredible artwork. It's now gone worldwide. It's not just international. It's worldwide. I introduced to you Stickmen. And I never realized that I was a proficient artist before, but these are making headlines. I'm seeing they're everywhere now. So I started them, and here they are. So I drew this originally on a whiteboard. That was before the School of Arts came and captured it and sent it international. But here is now what they have. And I want you to see that it is the Spirit lives on the inside of you. Your life is hidden in the Spirit. And we have a mind. And to be carnally minded is to be enmity with God. But this in alignment with God causes the anointing or the purpose that you're here to come forth. That's what comes out of here. So you see, that's the war. That's the battle. Now, I have a few people that are going to help me preach this morning, so if somebody would stand up and read Romans 8:8.
So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
So if we're operating according to the flesh, it's impossible to please God. Wow.
And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to the mortal body. His spirit dwells in you.
Wait a minute. He dwells where?
In you.
Where?
In you.
He's in you.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh.
For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Whoa! Oh, stand and say it again, girl.
For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Yes.
There it is. It's being led by the Spirit of God. That's how we can know that we're sons and we're daughters. We hear his voice. We hear what's coming forth. You were created for a purpose, and we're listening for our purpose, oftentimes from here and from other people rather than from here. But my purpose, my assignment, my destiny comes from here, and we've got to begin listening to here. I will manifest myself as a son and daughter from here. The earth, the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. I say, be revealed. Come out and play. The Holy Spirit is being held captive inside of unbelieving believers, and he wants out. If you don't align your spirit with God, you forfeit your God life. He said, set your mind on things above, not on things of the world. Set. Bringing a broken bone into alignment so that it can be right. Set. It's a medical term. I've never had a bone set, but I've heard it's a pretty painful process. And sometimes it takes a while to get set in that way. But we have to be willing to go through the pain of walking away from comfort and into risk for God, because that's where kingdom will be built. It's not going to be built from your recliner watching Gunsmoke. It's going to be built when you get someplace that there is dark that needs light. He says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. Where is he? Are you catching this? Merry Christmas. You know, when he says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, he's not talking about your blood pump. He's talking about your core beliefs, who you are from the very core of your being, what beliefs you have settled into and settled on. It's not the million thoughts that run through your head. You can't stop those from happening, but it's the ones that you choose to meditate on. It's the ones that you keep long enough to mark you with something. And if you think on the wrong things, you'll get marked with the wrong things. And if you think on the right things, you'll get marked with the right things. See, he says those thoughts, if they stay there long enough, then they become patterns. Patterns. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. That's my problem. I'll be honest with you. I get pulled on from the world. Right now, it's new cars. Because I've got 250,000 miles on my car. And I see new cars. And the lust side of me, now lust is not a sexual thing. Lust means you getting something for you at somebody else's expense. Love means giving something of you for somebody else's benefit. But anyways, I'm lusting after new cars right now. But I have to submit myself to what is God's plan? Is this the right timing? What car does he want me to have? See, I could just go buy a new car. We've got enough money. We could do that. Well, maybe not cash. Donna has recently, to help supplement income, she's recently started taking, in laundry from other people's clotheslines outside. You know, you get, and so if you need any clothes, let us know. I'm not convinced that the Passion Translation is a real accurate. I think it is. I think it has a potential to be more accurate even than like the New King James and so on, because he wrote it from the Arabic language. And so I think it does, but I don't know that for sure. So take it with a grain of salt. But I want to read this scripture to you. I'm going to start in verse 1. I want to read you 1 and 2 from the Passion Translation. Listen, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. That's verse 1. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Ah! This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Ah! You know, here's the truth. Listen to this. You don't know how worldly your thinking has gotten until the Word of God opposes it. You know, some people call this hate speech. Don't dare offend people. We live in a day where, gosh, people are offended so easy and they're so cautious about being offensive. Jesus was called the rock of offense. He was offensive to the disobedient. You know, the truth never offends those looking for the truth. It only offends those that are trying to avoid the truth. I preach the truth. I preach it out of this book. You know, I can't teach whatever I want to. Just come up here. I have an obligation. In fact, the Bible says I'm going to receive a stricter judgment than you will, based on how accurate I am teaching the Word of God. So it's very, it's a weighty thing. But I bring the Word of truth. But, you know, sometimes when I teach, it makes people mad. Hopefully not real often. But it does. But I have to say, if you get mad when I'm teaching the truth, then you're on the wrong side of the fence. See, if I skip over the pages that I don't like to get to the ones that I do, then I'm not embracing Jesus. I'm creating Jesus. I'm creating the Jesus that I want. But truth is truth, and we need the whole enchilada, folks. In Matthew, in chapter 7, verse 4, he says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There's a whole bunch of people that can find it. It's easy. Live any way you want to. That's an easy path. But narrow is the way that leads to life. And it says very few will find it. My assignment is to make you the few that will find it. We've got to find this narrow way. We've got to walk in this narrow way. And I'm telling you the truth. I want to walk in this narrow way into 2020, but I don't want to go it alone. I want you there with me. I got to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. So I'm going to tell you some things that you need to hear today, but I promise you, if you'll walk in these things, you will get seasons out, and you will come back and say, Ron, thank you so much that you just didn't teach about Santa Claus on Christmas in 2019, but you told me something I needed to hear, and I got some things set in line with heaven, and heaven came forth in me, and now I am doing this, and this is happening, and these are blessed, and that's being poured out, and I want to see that in you. That's what I live for. Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is death. Worldly, to be thinking like the world thinks, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind, the worldly mind, worldly thinking it's the enemy of God. For it's not subject to the law of God, and it can't even be. In other words, if you are thinking like the world, you can't somehow bend that to make it fit the God model. It says it can't be. You can't shape it into something that it's not. What's the big question of life? You've heard it. It's in church, out of church. Why are we here? That's it. Why am I here? Why am I here? See, your anointing knows why you're here. It's locked in 1,000%. But your brain doesn't know why you're here. And so we go around trying to figure it out from here instead of here. We take courses. We do counseling. We talk to people. And that's all good stuff. But I want to tell you, when you're trying to find your assignment, you better be following Lord God Jehovah and Him only. Yes, there's wisdom in a multitude of counseling, godly counseling. I believe in that. But man, you better, even what you're hearing better line up with what you're hearing here. This is the main thing. Why am I here? You know, that's why the Holy Spirit's called the teacher. Imagine that. Your teacher is on the inside of you. We run here and there for teaching. He'll tell you when you're headed right. He'll tell you when you're headed wrong. I can promise you, Donna and I could sit here. She'll be my witness here. We can point very specifically to the times we didn't listen to the Holy Spirit when we did something. And it didn't turn out very good, did it, dear? And I can also tell you the times that we've listened to the Spirit and He said to do this. It's turned out extremely well. How do I know the will of God for my life? That's another big question. How do I know? How do I hear the voice of God? I'm telling you that today, folks. This is like a $40,000 seminar you're getting today. I'm giving you answers. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." This is the first level of the war that we're fighting, strongholds. We're going to talk about three levels today. First, I want to talk to you about strongholds. Strongholds. They're held strong. Imagine driving pilings of something, boom, 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 into your life where it's so solidified in you that it just, you can't hardly move it. It's there. It's strong. Yeah, it takes a hammer. You should have got rid of this when it was just an infant thought, but it's you allowed it to stay in the playground of your mind and run its pilings down deep. You get around somebody and they reject you. And rather than saying, well, I guess this is not a person that God has appointed to be in my life. No, we say they rejected me. And all of a sudden you start remembering all the people that rejected you and all the times you've been put down and all the times that you didn't matter and all the times that it didn't add up and all the times that you were frustrated and hurt by somebody. And all these things can continue to just build this rejection in you. And you see your Facebook friends and they're all having fun with each other, but you just don't have no fun. It's not me. There's something wrong with me. People reject me. There's a reason. My mom didn't even really like me that much. My uncle wouldn't even talk to me. I'm inferior. I'm stupid. I'm a halfwit. I'm ugly. Nobody loves me. Have you ever heard somebody say that one? Nobody loves me. Have you ever felt that way? Nobody loves me. That's a lie! Jesus loved you so much that He died on the cross for you. How can you say nobody loves me? The one that matters the most paid the highest price for you. There's no greater love than somebody lays down their life for their friends. He called you friend. You can never say nobody loves me. 3:16, for God so loved you. Can you imagine what God thought as He was watching His Son brutally die on the cross? But for the prize that was set before Him, that was you. That was a relationship with you. You meant so much that He was willing to bankrupt heaven for you. He loves you. You can't say, you've got to get rid of that stinking thinking. well, I guess I'll never get ahead. I'm always in debt. Nothing ever works out. Every time it seems like I'm going to have some money left at the end of the month, they move the month and I'm out of money again. It just never works out. My family's always been broke. I'm always broke. I guess it's our lot in life. That's just the way it's going to be. And it becomes a pattern of thought that you pattern after yourself because your family has patterned it after themselves, and you just fall in line with the pattern, and that's what you get, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But it's time to break out of patterns and get to kingdom living, because God is on the move. He's doing a new thing. I'm trying to get you to see that it's a new season. That's what we're warring against. It's those lies. It's those patterns. You know, I just don't have any value. I go to meetings and people don't listen to my thoughts or my ideas. I'm always put down. They'll listen to everybody in the room but me. I just don't matter. I don't have any value. It's just part of that rejection spirit. You know, people that carry a rejection spirit, if you carry a rejection spirit, you can walk in the room and without saying a word, just who you think you are from the inside screams, reject me. You're the person in the room that needs a hug the most, and you're the hardest to give it to. Strongholds, it's believing lies to be true. That's what a stronghold is. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments. This is our next level. So strongholds is number one. Number two, he says, casting down arguments. Arguments. Comes offering time. And I stand here and tell you, give, because God wants, I put on my best Joel Osteen face. God wants to bless you. And I smile. Yeah, it didn't work. And you don't believe that. Why? Because you have YouTubes running through your head. All the times that somebody did you wrong and somebody mismanaged what you entrusted them with, somebody broke trust with you, somebody betrayed you, somebody did you wrong. And so I say, hey, God wants to bless you. And your mind wants to run these YouTubes to make an argument against what God says in his word. Just because the preacher said God wants to bless you. It gives you a truth. So you smile and you clap your hands. But inside, you're arguing, saying, no, I know better. That may be for everybody else in here, but blessing doesn't come to my house. You don't understand. You don't understand. We'll talk about understanding in a second, too, if we have time. Thoughts, arguments. Listen, this is good. Thoughts and arguments. Another definition for these two are a thought looking for shelter. The enemy slings something out there, and it goes into your head. And it's looking for a place where it can sit down and make itself at home. It's a thought looking for shelter. What do you do with it? Well, that's where you've got to have this thing tuned and in line with God. And if it doesn't come in line, you take it captive and you cast it down. You come on. The kingdom of God is where? It's in you. Absolutely, it is. And so the kingdom of God suffers what? And the violence comes from thoughts. Come on. And the violent will take it captive by force and cast it down because it doesn't come into line with what I know to be true. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Okay. Then the third level. And we'll wrap it up. He says, every high thing. David we have time for that. Proverbs 12 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. See if I can unpack this. If you love instruction, you love knowledge. How many of you love the word? That's another word for discipline. If you love discipline, you love instruction. I mean, you love knowledge. If you love discipline, you love knowledge. How many of you like to be disciplined? See ya. Well, it's just most of us, see ya the exception, don't. You know what? It's true. I love you so much. You are about the most teachable person on the planet. Okay. Here's what I want to get to. We get information. Information comes. Maybe it's good information, maybe it's bad information, but information comes. But the information that comes is going to sit on a structure. Imagine putting something on a shelf. So this thought comes, and it comes inside of me. It's looking for some place to set, okay? Now, if I have not been instructed in what's proper, then there's not a proper structure for that information to set on. And so it will go to a wrong place. Information set in a proper structure, that structure, if it's proper, will either accept it or reject it based on truth. Okay? So information comes to the structure. Now, in Proverbs, the wisest man who ever lived said, in all of your getting, get understanding. So, information comes into a structure. If it's a proper structure, it will be handled correctly. And as it builds inside of you, it becomes a belief. In other words, it becomes a belief, it's something that you understand to be true. Understanding means standing under. What structure of information are you taking your stance under? Get everything, get all the stuff, but in all the getting, you better get understanding. What is the stance that you're taking? Under what information and structure are you standing? You know, when in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Listen to this. He goes on to say that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. When the Bible, and it talks all, there's all kinds of scriptures about darkness and light. He's not talking about light bulbs and flashlights. He's talking about ignorance and knowledge in that. And so, darkness is ignorance. He says, my people who were in darkness have seen a great light. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in Luke 11:35. Jesus said this, red letter. It was so weighty, it turned the ink of your Bible red. Be sure the light in you is not darkness. Wait a minute. What's he saying here? He's saying, be sure that what you have received to be true is not ignorance. Psalm 19:13 says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. It goes on to say, let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Say, great transgression. What is the great transgression we're talking about here? This was written by David. The guy was a mess. What were some of the transgressions of David? Adultery, murder. I mean, the guy was a mess. He was a lousy parent. He was a fornicator. He was a mess, and he had some great transgressions. But I want to, that scripture there, that he captured something, and God recorded it in his word when he talked about presumptuous sins. Keep me, he says, keep me from these presumptuous sins. See, David went out on a portico, and he saw something he shouldn't see. Not outside of marriage. He saw a naked woman. I want to tell you that, wow. Desire, when it comes, it leads to sin. Sin leads to death. You know that scripture. I'm probably not quoting it right, but there, it comes through the eye gates. It comes through the ear gates. There's a gate that you will leave open that the enemy will attack you through, and it's going to build a desire in you or a thought that you need to act on, and it brings forth death. You see that. We're talking about David here, and he saw something, and it turned into a thought. And then the thought turned into a meditation, and the meditation turned into a belief. And the belief turned into an action. David saw the woman. He wanted this woman. And so he took her, and she conceived. And so now he had to cover up his sin. So he sensed and had to have her husband put on the front line where he'll get killed so it won't get found out. But how many of you know that your sin's done in secret? God sees every single one of them. You're not getting away with anything. And they have an assignment over your life. Oh, I haven't said this for a while. God is not in control. He's in charge. But he turns control over to us. Listen to me. Your thinking, really, your thoughts. Every thought you think puts you up under a different law of God, and that law is in control of your life. Take that one home and think about that for a while. Presumptuous sin. He says, every day, God, keep me from that thing. I know that my fall, that's where it started. It started right here. That was the gigantic sin that he was talking about. What did he call it? The great transgression. His great transgression was a thought. He says, keep me every day from thinking something is all right that is actually not. Then I will be blameless. Presumption. Presumption is accepting something as true with no proof. Listen to the definition of acknowledgement. You know, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. The definition of acknowledge is to accept or admit the existence or a truth thereof. So presumption is accepting something is true even though it may not be. Acknowledge is accepting something that you know is truth. He's the father of lies. He will keep you from your season, from your destiny, from your promises, from your provision, from your intimacy with God. He'll keep you from it all by lies. That's his only power, is to try and convince you of something. He's the father of lies. But we serve the father of truth, and truth exists on the inside of you. And if you will take the effort to hone your hearing skills to this, get this set into alignment. I want to tell you what happens. It's hard at first. You know this. Think about when you were first saved, trying to come into, get this mind to line up. You're getting word and sitting in church for the first time, and you're hearing truths, and it's just hard. But over time, it gets easier. But then he exposes you to greater truths. And you're like, oh, geez, I just was getting A's in this class, and now I'm in this class. And it's harder. And so you graduate, he says, from glory to glory. From glory to, you know what I've noticed? It was the same thing in school. That during the test, the teacher is always silent. Oh, none of you have experienced that, huh? I have. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let every thought that you allow to stay in your head be subject to the anointing. If it's in your head and it doesn't line up with the anointing, get rid of it. Don't let a thought. We can't afford to have a thought exist in our head that doesn't exist in his. Yes, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts than our thoughts. He doesn't say that to build a barrier and say, my ways are higher than your ways. So you stay over there. I will think, I will have my ways here. They're much higher than yours. He didn't say it as a barrier. He said it as an invitation. We can have the mind of Christ in all situations. It's an invitation. So I would encourage you. Listen, today you either bear witness that what I'm telling you about a new season is true, and I pray that you do, because I'm beyond convinced. And if so, then we've got to do something different than what we've been doing to get there. And I think it's all right here. It's all right here. So here we are. Listen, I don't have an altar call where we're not going to sling oil and have you run around and, you know, weep tears and suck rug and sling snot. That's not what we're going to do today. We'll do that sometimes. But today, I just wanted to show you something and tell you that God is giving you permission to come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Father, Holy Spirit, I've done my very best to deliver your message today. Lord, I pray for ears to hear, ears to hear. I pray, we know that immediately Satan comes to steal the word that was sown. Today, I pray a hedge of protection around the words that I have spoken, that they will not just go on, but they will go on, in, down, and then back up as your fruitfulness. So I thank you, God, for anointing this word, that the anointing touches the anointing, and therefore there's a frequency released in this room of heaven that causes DNA to line up, so that, Lord, when we line up, our spirit lines up with our head, and then both of those line up with kingdom, then we are now flowing, free-flowing agents of the Most High God, ready to put our hands to anything and see it prosper, ready to release blessing, ready to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because we are in alignment with God. Set us, oh God, where we are broken and need to be set, I pray. God, let us follow you. Lord, there's places in us that need to die. You didn't say take up your recliner and follow you. Lord, let us walk as though we know that it's not us that live, but it is you that live. And I just speak over everybody that comes into alignment with that, that he didn't just come to give you life. He came to give it to you more abundantly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Manifest yourself, I pray, in the form of visions and dreams, thoughts, meditations. And we give you thanks for it. 2020. Same God. New season. Greater assignments. Would you stand with me?